I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy.
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby.
She has been excused.
Councilmember Edelman.
Here.
Councilmember Stout.
Here.
Councilmember De Leon.
Here.
Councilmember Nelson.
I haven't heard from him, but I assume he will be here. Maybe he's
late. Running late. And then Councilmember Page.
Here.
Okay. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Just maybe he forgot it was six. He might have thought it was six.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't pay attention. So today we're here to talk and review a discussion about the stormwater management program, and Scott Hannes is going to help us with that today. So.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. So we discussed this a little bit in the council meeting last week. It's our stormwater management program plan. It is a requirement of our stormwater discharge permit with the Department of Ecology. So basically, it's our permit to let water from our stormwater system go into streams, creeks, lakes, and that sort of thing. And we can continue to allow that water to go into those water bodies if we meet the conditions of the permit. So this document shows how we're going to meet those conditions. So we can just go through section by section. Stop me if you have questions or comments.
And I'll also say that it went through the Public Works Department
twice.
Yes.
Our committee. The
council committee.
Yeah. Are you just going to go through the change?
The summary
changes?
Or are you going to go through the big document?
I was planning on going through the big document, if that would be beneficial. So in the packet, you have the clean version of the permit. You have the summary of changes. So basically what's changed from the last version of our permit from Ecology. So about every 6 years, Ecology issues a new permit with new conditions or modified conditions. So going into it, we have a list of acronyms and abbreviations. Department of Ecology loves their acronyms, so there are a lot in here. They can get pretty blurred together. The Stormwater Management Manual of Western Washington, Stormwater Management Program Plan, the Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan, and they can kind of just blend together a little bit. So these acronyms are ones that you will see in this document. So the first section on page 3 is the introduction. This basically tells about the permit, why we have to do this plan, and it details.
Fair enough.
Sorry, I'm trying to fiddle with it. They had to reinstall everything today, so I'm asking IT because I've silenced everything I could and it's still playing back.
But it talks about what areas we have to be compliant in for the permit. So at the bottom of page 3, we start the list of the 9 areas in which we are compliant and which we need to be compliant as well. And each section has each of those areas. So on page 5 is section 2, monitoring, reporting, and assessment. This is a pretty simple one for us. Every year on March 31st, we have to turn in an annual report to the Department of Ecology saying, here's how we've met the conditions, here's how we've met the deadlines that were due this year, this past year. We also pay into a collective fund, so Department of Ecology does regional stormwater monitoring in order to kind of determine some best management practices or facilities that might work for different situations. And if we can pool our money together on a regional basis, that helps do bigger projects and better see impacts. So in each section, it's broken down into three subsections. So we have our permit requirements and dates. That shows, those are the deadlines and specifics directly from the permit that we have to meet. So in this section, it's submit a one-time payment of $717. We did that already. We have to notify Ecology in writing if we're going to participate in these regional programs. We've done that already. Another one-time payment for effectiveness studies. We've done that. And we have to notify them if we're going to participate in the stormwater action monitoring, which is just more regional studies, basically.
That's a question. And I didn't think about this when we had our meeting. These costs that we're paying, are those the same for every city municipality, or is this something that is graduated? We pay this fee, but the city of Bellevue would pay some humongous big fee?
Yeah, that's correct. It's based on population.
Oh, okay.
So.
And then also, Scott, it says notify whether or not you're participating. I thought it was a requirement.
If you want to, you can do a study yourself. But for us, it makes a lot more sense to spend a little bit of money rather than paying a lot to do a big program. So, yeah, we just do the $1,300, and we can check the box, and we get the information back from Ecology later. So, yep. The second subsection here, it's the same for all sections, is the current activities. This is what we are currently doing. So it says submit the online annual report, so that's the one that's due every March 31st. Prepare written documentation of the SWMP, so that's what we're reviewing right now. We have to include that with our annual report. If we had any annexations or we added to the city, made any changes to the boundaries, we need to report that because that might mean more stormwater facilities or more maintenance that we have to do. We have to track the number of inspections that we do. So not just city-owned facilities, but if there's construction, development, we have to track those inspections. And we do that in our permit track system that we use. We have to track the cost of, or an estimated cost of running this stormwater program. And we have a spreadsheet that we do update every year with estimates for that. Coordinating with other entities. So some stormwater basins are connected. Portions of Maple Valley are connected to Lake Sawyer. So there's some coordination there. We meet with other cities. We meet with King County just to get more ideas how we can more effectively manage stormwater. A lot of things are covered by the development agreement for everything going on at 10 Trails. So we have our two inspectors out there making sure everything's going right and that sort of thing. And they are tracking their inspections as well. And then the last two bullet points are the funds that we're going to be contributing to.
May I ask you who is the water quality committee? Is that part of the master development review team?
Yeah, that's part of MDRT. So I'm not sure who makes up that committee, but yeah.
That's on it. Yep. Okay.
And then the third subsection of all these sections will be the planned activities. For this section, it's just we're going to continue monitoring. We're going to continue submitting our annual reports and paying into the funds that we need to. So, any questions there before we move on? So section three is stormwater planning. We got into this a little bit last week, so we have to do a stormwater management action plan. We're still trying to figure out how involved that's going to be for us. So the first bullet point, so for our requirements and dates, so we have to continue to require low impact development. So LID, low impact development, that's basically trying to mimic present conditions. So before someone comes in and puts in a parking lot or something, what are we going to try to do to mimic those previous conditions? And best management practices are how you're going to just manage things, basically. So best steps, their logical steps for taking care of certain situations. How are you going to clean catch basins? How are you going to prevent water from going into a stream too quickly? That sort of thing. One new thing, second bullet point, is we have to convene an interdisciplinary team. So basically, we need to put a team together from different departments in the city to inform, and it says, inform and assist in the development, progress, and influence of this program no later than August 1st, 2020. This program is our stormwater management program. So we need to get input from other departments as well, see how we can work together. Third bullet point, report on how stormwater management needs and protection of receiving water help are or are not influencing the planning. So basically, this bullet and the two sub-bullets for it, it's what effect did stormwater planning have on our comprehensive plan update, the one that we just went through, and what are we going to do for future comprehensive plan updates? How are we going to implement stormwater all throughout the plan? We just need to make sure we're taking that into consideration. Bullet point at the bottom, continue to require LID principles and BMPs when we're updating our codes, rules, and that sort of thing. So we just need to look at how our codes are set up, how our standards are set up, make sure everything is meeting the requirements of the Department of Ecology. We need to see if there's anything that contradicts something else. Like if we're saying in one spot, go ahead and pour your fuel down the catch basin, but of course in another spot we're saying, don't do that. You know, we need to make sure that we're getting rid of that first one. Our code does not say that.
Right? Yeah, in relation to 10 trails and then future developments in town, with the development agreements, if the LID requirements change at the state level, is Oak Point vested to when we had the development agreement signed back in 2010 or 2011? Or do their requirements change as the state changes theirs? Do you know?
It kind of depends on what program.
From what I know, the development agreement is that they are not tested on stormwater code. So as
okay.
We'll have a whole new stormwater code coming soon, I think at the end of next year. They will have.
Okay. No, that's good. Thank you.
On the next page, at the very top, is that stormwater management action plan. So we do have some information that is required for the plan. We just need to look at it more, see how rough or how current our information is. Some jurisdictions are going to be further along already than others. We think we do have a good base, but we just need to get into it a little more and see what we need to do. But there are certain steps that we need to do. We need to submit a watershed inventory by March 31st of 2022. After you have that inventory, we need to prioritize these watersheds.
Any?
Yes. So that first sub bullet, document any existing information rather than and. So after we study them, we need to prioritize them, and then we need to develop the actual action plan for what we're going to do to help out that high priority catchment area, so that watershed area. Our current activities, this is a new section, but we have been looking at if there are any barriers to implementing LIDs or BMTs and that sort of thing. And for planned activities, it's more just, you know, we're going to look at what this action plan involves, what we need to do to get ourselves ready. You know, can we do it all in-house? Do we need a consultant? That sort of thing. So that's going to be quite a bit of homework on our part to figure out our next steps for that. So the next section, section 4, is public education and outreach. So this is something that we've been doing. Our efforts have mainly been newsletter articles. We have flyers in our different buildings. Every so often we take flyers out to the different stores or buildings around town to kind of get the word out how to prevent illicit discharges and that sort of thing.
We also Labor Day, we have a booth. And then at Miner's Day, there's also a city booth that information is giving out then, too.
So we have flyers for those.
We've used the city newsletter significantly a couple times a year.
So our requirements for this section is we need to evaluate the effectiveness of our education efforts. This is basically conducting a survey. In the past, we've done like SurveyMonkey type surveys that we've sent out. And we'll probably do something similar to that. We have to do this first evaluation by July of this of 2020. From there, we need to use that information to put together, you know, what direction we want to go. You know, where aren't we being effective? Where are we being effective? What do we need to focus on? And with that, that's where we need to get into the social media, the social marketing campaign. Yes. And we need to have a plan together by February 1st of 2021 and what we're going to do. Then by April 1st of the same year, we need to start implementing that social marketing plan. And then at the end of the permit cycle, so in March of 2024, we need to evaluate once again how those efforts were. You know, were they more effective? Were they less effective? What parts were effective? Did social media work better than what we've been doing? And so that's upcoming. Current activities, we just talk about what we have been doing. We've been doing training in-house as needed. November a year ago, we did an internal training on illicit discharge with public works staff. As we need to, we meet with businesses and other individuals about stormwater needs. We already talked about the flyers that we do, trying to get the word out on illicit discharges. So illicit discharges are just, it's things that get into the stormwater system that shouldn't be there. So if like oil spills in there or garbage or, you know, whatever. So it's just trying to keep that stuff out. On the next page, it's just tracking and maintaining records. There's a lot of records that we need to submit with our annual reports. From our previous survey, we've been utilizing that to kind of steer how we're going to do our next education initiative. So we use that a lot as we determine newsletter articles and that sort of thing. And we like to give credit to the Lake Sawyer Park Foundation with the signs that they have. They put up in the park. They have stormwater information for us there as well. So that's been very helpful. And then the planned activities, it's basically, you know, we're going to keep going forward. We're going to keep using the same information that we have until we have the new survey data. We're going to meet the requirements of the permit. So it's a lot of words just to say that, but yeah. So the next section is public involvement and participation. So we're required to get the involvement of the public. So last week we had the public hearing. It gives the public a chance to give input on this plan. We did receive comments last week. And we have implemented comments in the past into the plan. And as part of this as well, we publish this plan on our city website so it is accessible to everyone. We put our annual report on the website as well, just so people can see, you know, how we're meeting the requirements, how we're checking the boxes and that sort of thing.
So, Scott, it seems like maybe 5 years ago or so that we did go into the schools, into the elementary school, and talk a little bit about, you know, what you shouldn't put in down the sink and stuff. So maybe that's a good place. I know it says on here that one of the places for going to is the school for school age, so fifth graders maybe.
Yep. So that would be good, because they bring all that information.
I think it was suggested, but we were never able to work that in.
No.
It never became part of our program plan.
Okay. So but, maybe we can try that.
It was something that was brought up. It takes a significant amount of work to put together a curriculum, get into the school.
Yeah, it might be nice to work with the new principal and see if there's already a curriculum coming up.
There actually are through McKinstry. Not. There are actually some that are in works that are in partnership with some of the, for example, green teams at various school districts. Mm-hmm. So it might be possible to tap into pre-existing programs and just say, oh, by the way, this is what you do in the city.
Yeah.
We can look into that.
That's a King County partnership, I believe, is the green team program. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Yeah, as far as education as well, we have teamed with other organizations. There's one called ECOSS, so ECOSS. Mm-hmm. So they've come out to our businesses and they've given education as well. They drop off kits for them to clean up, you know, after spills, so spill prevention kits and that sort of thing. So they've been a good partner for us as well.
Do we pay them?
No. So they are
a volunteer organization.
Yeah, they're volunteer and they get grants through Ecology and other organizations. So. And they get credit for getting out to as many cities and businesses as they can. So public involvement. So, yeah, we have our public hearings. We will need to hold public hearing as well for our stormwater management action plan as we move that through the process as well. And one thing we have, we got from the city of Kirkland, are these no dumping drains to stream stencils that we can, you know, paint next to our catch basins and stuff. We haven't been able to implement that yet, but that might be a good option for volunteers to come out and paint those. So Kirkland gave us 5 or 6 of those stencils. So
is that the one that has a fish?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just sitting in my office. So there's an opportunity there.
Maybe that can go into the newsletter seeking volunteers who would like to do that. But do we have places mapped out through the city, throughout the city, where you would like the stencils to be? Because
you do it on like sidewalks.
It's usually by a curb.
The curb by the
is where I've seen it before.
Along Kirk Street, Morgan and Roberts would be good because those runoffs do go into streams mm-hmm. and wetlands. Mm-hmm. Most of like and trails.
So Section 6 is the MS4 mapping and documentation. So the MS4 is basically our stormwater system. So we have certain mapping requirements that we have. So there's brought as an example kind of a rough map of our stormwater system, like show and tell here. But on this map, we have our outfalls, we have our catch basins and their locations. We do this map in our GIS system, so the geographic information systems, and tied to each individual catch basin outfall is information about each item. With our catch basins, we have when we clean them last. We have the slope of the pipe coming in, going out. We have the depths of the catch basins, where the top of the catch basin is as far as elevation goes. So we have
almost like a schematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's basically a huge database that you can turn into a map.
Does outfall mean a place where water spills into water?
Yeah, so the outfalls are where the stormwater leaves our system and goes into a water body. We also have discharge points in the city where the stormwater leaves our system but goes to the ground or somewhere like that.
We don't have any catch basins on Lake Slater except for Greenbrier.
Yep.
Everything else goes around, to the ground.
Yeah, and up around Lake Sawyer, everything infiltrates as well. The catch basins infiltrate.
That's why a lot of us Lake Sawyer people have gravel driveways, and so that everything can infiltrate
back into the ground.
Mm-hmm. We are pretty ahead of the curve on the mapping portion. We have to make sure that we're keeping things updated, and we have been. few times a year we're finding that we have a record for a catch basin that's not out there, or we find a catch basin that we didn't have mapped and then we put it in there. So we're always staying on top of it, doing what we can to make sure we have good maps. So with our mapping system, we were able to determine which catch basins we needed to clean over this past summer. And we had roughly 300 catch basins that our crew went out and cleaned. So it was a lofty effort, but they were able to know exactly which ones they needed to go to and which ones they could skip. So it was a lot of work by them, and yeah, a good job. So our planned activities is we're just going to keep making sure we're keeping things up to date, meeting the requirements. Any questions here? Come along at a good speed. Section 7, illicit discharge detection and elimination. So this is things that shouldn't be getting into our stormwater system. So by way of spill into the catch basin, by way of maybe somebody tapped a sewer line into our stormwater system that we didn't know about. There are ways to track that. So our requirements for this, the requirements for, so it's IDDE is the acronym for that. The requirements are, they were a bit more lofty in years past, but now we're kind of settling into a groove with it. So we have procedures for detecting illicit connections, illicit discharges. We have procedures for how we're going to deal with it once we find them. How are we going to clean things up? We're required to make sure our public employees are well-versed in what we need to do. So our community development team, our police, they and fire, they, you know, our first responders. So if there's a spill, they have kits that they need to kind of prevent things from going where they shouldn't go. We've adopted ordinances that, so the third bullet point is Ordinance 18-1099, which prohibits illicit discharges. In that ordinance, we do have certain allowable discharges. There are conditionally allowable discharges, so it's things like, you know, water from your hose. Chlorine can be bad for fish, but water from your hose, it's conditionally allowed, basically. So that can go into the storm drain, but hopefully not too much. One thing that isn't allowed is if our crew is out flushing water mains or Covington Water District, if they're out flushing, they cannot discharge water directly into a catch basin unless they treat it to basically neutralize the chlorine. So, and Covington Water District's aware of it, and they're very good at that.
We've used it too. We've got
vitamin C,
acetic acid, gels that you put in and diffuse the discharge water through that.
Near the bottom, implement an ongoing program designed to detect and identify non-stormwater discharges. And then it talks about the procedures. About halfway down in the procedures, in italics, illicit connection and illicit discharge field screening and source tracing guidance manual. That has different methods in which you can search for illicit discharges. You know, what you need to do if you're at an outfall, you find dirty water coming out, it gives you steps to how you're going to trace that, you know, how you go up the system and try to find it. What we've been doing to meet this requirement is we have been inspecting our outfalls and our discharge points. We're required to do 12% a year, so we've been doing that. So far, we haven't found anything, but that's why we keep at it, because you never know when something will come up later.
Question.
Yep.
Or comment. On the bottom, where it's the bullet says procedures for conducting investigations, you say tracking shall begin.
Yeah, we can do that. Underneath that, we have a publicly listed and publicized hotline or telephone number. for reporting of spills. We met with police and fire about this a couple of years ago, and we determined that we should just have people call 911 since they're able to get somewhere fast. They have spill kits with them, and they're able to neutralize things before we can get out there. Sometimes people call the Department of Ecology rather than us or 911, so that can delay things. So we're trying to get the word out to call our first responders.
That would be something good to put in the newsletter, the mayor's newsletter.
I agree, because I think people, even in emergencies, like medical emergencies, people are hesitant to call 911. They think, oh, that's for, you know, the house is burning down or whatever. And we've been told by our police and fire, please call 911. And in a case like this, you're like, dirty water, whatever, I'm not calling 911 for that. But this is what people are supposed to do, but people don't really realize.
Well, or as an example, there was some kind of an oily discharge at Lake Sawyer a year or so ago. The 911 call goes to the fire pump, and they come out, they know how to do, take care of it, right, and control it.
So I agree. I think that's a great topic for the newsletter. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but, you know, mm-hmm. these are the things that you can call 911 for.
But it also may be something that you want to.
We have a flyer that we distribute to them, and when the police come, they bring that flyer that says to call 911.
Yeah, but not everybody comes to the meetings. I mean, it'd be nice to get in their emails.
Well, I think they've had it before, yeah. but not recently. So that would be a good thing, that flyer that we developed about calling 911 around Lake Sawyer, maybe put that in the newsletter.
Okay.
Well, if there's a digital version, it's really easy for whoever the president may be at the time to just put out a real quick email too, because that gets everybody on the lake. Not everybody on the lake comes to the annual meetings.
Yep. It doesn't get everybody on the lake. Some people
aren't. Well, it gets most of the people.
But we have all of our citizens need to know what to be watching for and what they're supposed to do if they see a mess.
Yeah. Which goes back to that interest in eventually developing a social media presence. That would be a perfect example of something like, hey, what can, you know, what's a good use of
just with the, if people call the Department of Ecology and it's, you know, a high alert emergency or something, so they fill out their paperwork and then they send an email to us. You know, they send it. Yeah, we might not get it for a couple of days. So, yeah.
Sunday. And where are they? Olympia?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bellevue.
Yeah, so that's why calling 911 is so important, is because they're there every day. And we've had people call the Department of Ecology, and then we don't get the notification for 2-3 days. And by then, if it's gasoline-related, it's dissipated, so it's gone.
Yeah, and we do publicize our on-call emergency phone number as well. So some people will think to call that, which is good, too. But if we're at home, you know, some of us are half hour away, so our first responders are already here. Moving on page 16, an ongoing program designed to address illicit discharges. That just basically takes us through those steps again of, you know, how are we going to determine if it actually is an illicit discharge? If it is, what are we going to do to find the source of it? Once we find the source, what are we going to do to get rid of it? So with our response, there are requirements for responding. You know, it talks about if there's something that's a threat to human health or to the environment, we need to notify Department of Ecology within 24 hours. They have a team that can come help us clean up. We need to do our investigation within 7 days. We need to act within 7 days. We need to investigate within 21 days. We have a compliance strategy, so it's laid out in our code. You know, what are our steps to educate someone? You know, if they're a repeat offender, what's the next steps? We've educated them, you know, what enforcement actions can we take? And with illicit discharges or with perceived illicit discharge, you know, we go out and investigate and it wasn't one, we do track all of those. We track every report that we get for them. Our current activities just talks about what we are doing. We have an ordinance in place to take care of things. We are doing training. We're making sure our field staff is up to date on everything. Our planned activities, it talks about the screening, so checking out our outfalls, our discharge points to make sure they're not. So we usually check those when it's been dry for a few days. That way, if there's water running, that's suspicious, and we can kind of start to look at that. We had one over the summer. There was a little bit of water running at 5th and Lawson, so just right out here. And there's just somebody washing their car and water was coming down. So that's our planned activities. So no real changes there. Section 8, controlling runoff from new development, redevelopment, and construction sites. So new construction or from a site where they might be tearing down a building, putting up another one, re-landscaping things. Construction projects. In the past, we've talked about the adoption of the stormwater manual. We do have a new version of that manual, the 2019 stormwater manual. We need to adopt that by 2022. So we wait to adopt that, even though it's out now, just to make sure we can get anything else in place that we need to, any other ordinances, we can research things. Because if we just adopt it, and there are requirements in there that we just haven't read about yet, you know, that could get us in trouble. And it's like 1,500 pages, this manual. So,
well, and isn't it after they adopt the manual, they go through and find out if stuff doesn't work, that they make changes to it, and that gives us a chance to wait to see what they're going to do with the changes that they made?
Yeah, so our past manual, so this is the 2019, the new one. Our past one, they first released in 2012, and then they amended it in 2014. So we were able to adopt the amended version when we adopted it. Under the requirements, the legal authority by June 30th, 2022, to inspect and enforce the standards. We likely have that, but we want to go over that once more time just to make sure we're up to date where we need to be.
And is this the place or the part that you told us that when this manual comes out that there will be trainings that will be available to city and city staff to be able to understand how to implement these bits and pieces? Is that what, or were we talking about something
else? I think that was the Stormwater Management Action Plan.
Oh, okay.
So on this, they will have training available and things to help with, but yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about, so you know, we're not going to adopt the 2019 plan right now. We're looking at 2022.
Yep.
And it isn't because we're just sitting and just saying, no, we're not going to adopt it, because they're going to probably revise their plan. We're actually looking through the documents. We're looking at making sure that we are in compliance with what's already in there. And if we're not, we're working on getting to that.
Correct, yes.
And then once we're happy with the document that we are in compliance, then we adopt it. Or, like you said, the one in 2012, by the time 2014 came around, we were ready to adopt it, and they had already made their changes.
Yep.
Right. So I just want people to know that we're not just sitting around waiting for Department of Ecology to say, okay, now we're going to make changes, and then we're going to jump on the bandwagon and adopt.
Yep. Yeah, so on the last one, I think we had to have everything adopted by either January 1st, 2016 or the end of 2015. By then, they had already made their amendments, and they made the amendments before we were required to actually adopt it.
Are there extensive changes with the new manual, or is it pretty standard with a few changes, or what usually happens with the new manual?
So there are quite a few different changes. It kind of depends on how the science has changed. They have new best management practices that they put in. They have new low-impact development methods that they use. So they have those implemented. For example, they had BMP, so best management practices for dealing with pet waste. That wasn't really in the previous manual as an actual best management practice, and that's in there now. So we got to look at all those different best management practices, and some things are just, you know, rewording things to make it flow better, but some changes are more significant. They do have a red line version of it, but at about 1,500 pages, it mm-hmm. takes a while to go through.
Well, then you also need to make sure, or our city attorney does, that when you may make these changes, that every place in the city code that needs to be revised gets revised too.
Yep.
So it's not just this document necessarily. There's some follow-on stuff.
Yeah, so we got to make sure we're
just
not
to be consistent.
Contradicting anything.
Yeah.
Yep. So our current activities, so we conduct site inspections during pre-construction and construction phases. So out in 10 trails, we have our two inspectors out there, and they are constantly checking to make sure, you know, silt fences are set up, make sure temporary storm ponds are functioning correctly. Our inspectors on the public works team, we're going out to other development sites. We're making sure the same things. We're making sure things are set up to properly manage stormwater and stormwater runoff before, you know, the groundwork actually begins. We have our permitting process with plan review, so even before someone starts to do work, they have to meet with us. They are told, you know, what is required of them by the city, by Department of Ecology. And then from there, you know, we do our inspections and everything. So developers, they know well beforehand what we're going to require of them. And then there are metrics that we need to meet, different goals. So about halfway down, we must perform at least 80% of our required inspections. So we track our inspections in our permit track system, and then we're able to compile that. It's very rare for us to miss an inspection, so we're always well above the curve on that one. The staff responsible for implementing the program for the inspections, we have several staff members that are trained on this sort of thing. So we have three certified erosion and sediment control leads. And what this training does is it helps people set up a construction site to help manage stormwater. So there are three of us that are trained there, and there are two of us that are nationally trained by the NPDES, National Stormwater Center, as certified inspectors. We also monitor Lake Sawyer. So with King County tests water quality at Lake Sawyer. So that's helpful for us. We talk about the master plan developments, how they were developed under the 2005 Stormwater Manual. And our planned activities, so the city has a program to help reduce stormwater runoff from new development and construction sites. We're going to review and implement the 2019 Stormwater Manual to make sure that we're in compliance there. We're going to continue to make sure we're meeting our permit requirements. We're going to make sure we're continuing to be trained. So our three certified erosion and sediment control leads, the certification expires in 2021, so we'll have to get recertified for another 3 years. And then we'll just make sure all of our codes and everything line up. And before, we talked about assembling a team of staff members to kind of determine, you know, what we need to do for this plan. So that's where this will come in handy as well, as we look through codes and that sort of thing.
H21.
So
Section 9, Operations and Maintenance, page 21. So this is what we're doing internally, our public works team. First bullet point under the required dates is we need to establish maintenance standards that are as protective or more protective as the stormwater manual. So by June of 2022, that's part of that. The manual does have this, like a big table of what maintenance needs to be done on certain facilities. So we have our own separate document that mimics that. So we'll just need to make sure that's updated by the end of June of 2022. We could probably get that done a lot sooner because it would be good to know in order to make sure our facilities are better taken care of. Long-term operation and maintenance of stormwater facilities. So
that's not in your acronyms and abbreviations.
What one?
The O&M.
O&M?
Operations and maintenance should be in here.
Oh, there we go. Oh. I snuck it in there.
Sorry.
Voila.
I'm very responsive.
So with development, new plats and that sort of thing, a lot of them put on their own stormwater controls, such as detention ponds and that sort of thing. We need to make sure that it's identified who is going to be responsible to maintain that. Typically, we put that on homeowners associations to do. There are some that we maintain. If they're not maintaining it, we need to have it in our code, which we do, that we can go in and maintain it, and then we can charge them. Yep. Our own private facilities, our stormwater ponds, our rain garden, we have to inspect those every year. We maintain those several times a year, so we were able to meet that one pretty easily. If there's a 10-year storm, so a storm that happens basically once every 10 years, it's 2.5 inches of rain, 3 inches of rain over a 24-hour period. I have the number written down back at the office. But if we encounter a storm like that, we need to go out and we need to check our facilities and make sure they're handling everything how they're supposed to. We need to inspect all of our catch basins every 2 years, so every other year we need to have them inspected. We found that it's a lot quicker to pump them first, because by the time you lift the lid and you inspect them and you put a tape measure down and see how deep the sediment is, we know we're going to have to pump it anyways, so we just pump them, and then we check everything else to make sure it's functioning as it should. You know, there's no pieces chipping off, there's no damage to it. So we're just going the extra step. Instead of just an inspection, we're just going to clean them, maintain them. Very bottom bullet point on page 21, we need to implement practices, policies, and procedures to reduce stormwater impacts associated with runoff from our own land, so from our roads, from our city shop, from our different properties, from our different facilities as well, such as the storm ponds and that sort of thing. So there are many different things that we need to do to make sure that we're doing that. We need to, you know, it talks about dust control, application of fertilizers, you know, are we, you know, standing in Ginder Creek while we're spraying stuff? Well, yeah, we don't want to do that. We need to make sure that we're following the right procedures. We don't do that. We need to continue to train our staff. We do. We need to do a little bit better on our record keeping. You know, we've been pretty basic with our record keeping, but Department of Ecology in this new permit, they want us to do a little more with our record keeping. So
are you referring to record keeping of the training?
The training, yes. So we need to have the dates, activities, course descriptions, the names and positions of staff and attendance. We usually have just done the date, the general overview. So May 31st, illicit discharge, this person was there, but now we need to have their position and that sort of thing. At our public workshop, we have a stormwater pollution prevention plan that we need to keep updated. We look at that every other year. It's basically, you know, how are we managing stormwater there at that site? You know, what if there is a spill? We have a creek running right behind the shop, so we need to make sure we're in compliance there. And any inspections that we do, we need to keep track of that. Our current activities, it talks about what we've been doing. Over the summer, our public works team cleaned out, you know, about 300 catch basins, which was a large effort for them. We need to inspect our system. It's basically going through everything in the requirements. That's what we're doing. One thing that we have at our shop is we have a vehicle washing station that we did put in a few years ago. We have a valve on it that the water can't turn on for washing a vehicle. It's basically a two-way valve. It opens the stormwater and it opens the sewer system. Unless it's open to the sewer system, that water cannot turn on. So it's a pretty neat feature that we're pretty proud of. So. And otherwise, when it's off, the stormwater just goes where it should go.
And before that got installed, everybody was washing their vehicles at the fire station.
Yep.
So all that water was running down Baker Street. So it was nice to see that facility being installed for that public work.
Yeah. So our crew uses it. Police, they're over there a lot to use it. So it's coming very handy. And then planned activities that talk about, you know, what we'd like to do for sweeping streets, how we're going to manage that street waste. In the past, we have just dumped it at our facilities to let it settle and let all the gunk get out of it, so the street sweepings. But now we've just had the companies that we've hired just haul everything off and dispose of it where they need to, and they have to provide proof that they took it to a proper facility. So, and that's been a lot cheaper and easier on us as well. Says, well, we're going to continue to clean the catch basins. We're going to review the stormwater manual and all that good stuff. Any questions before? All right, Section 10 is the last one, source control for existing development. So I made brief mention of this one in the public hearing. In the past, we've only had to monitor private storm systems that actually have a physical connection to our stormwater system. There aren't many, but now Department of Ecology wants us, so under the first bullet point, pollution, talks about pollution-generating sources associated with existing land use activities. So what those existing land use activities are, they give guidance about what they are, but the guidance is pretty vague right now, so we're still doing research about what that means. It's going to be related to parking lots of certain size. It's going to be related to industrial sites, the auto wrecking yard, Palmer Coking Coal, some of these bigger sites. We're going to have to monitor water that's flowing off of the surfaces that can go into our stormwater system. Some of those sites have their own stormwater permit with the Department of Ecology. Typically, in the past, they have been responsible for enforcement, and now we need to see, you know, how much enforcement are we going to be responsible for on those sites? When can we get Ecology involved? What do we have to do first? So it'll be a lot of bringing ourselves up to speed as to what sites qualify. As far as the steps to meet these requirements, we have to put together an inventory by August of 2022 over the sites that will qualify. From there, in 2023, we have to start an inspection program. Every year, we need to inspect at least 20% of the sites that are in our inventory. So that will be, you know, an added effort on our public works staff as well. If we receive a complaint about one of the sites that we've identified, we have to go out there and check it. Like their permit says we have to do 100% of those. So if we get a complaint about one of those, we have to go see. If we go to the site and they don't want to let us on the site, you know, then we can get ecology involved, but that counts as an inspection. But most places are really good about, you know, they want to keep things clean as well. So, by January of 2023, we need to have a progressive enforcement policy. So, and that outlines kind of what that needs to have. So if a site hasn't implemented what they need to as far as best management practices, you know, we need to follow up with them. At what point do you stop following up with them and you start, you know, bringing the hammer down a little bit? We need to document all that sort of stuff as well.
So when the Department of Ecology then step in and have fines on their own? Or do they still stay out and it's just the city that goes?
We do have a way to have Department of Ecology to help us, but if we're kind of exhausting our resources and we're not making any headway, then they can come out and get involved. And, you know, they have their own enforcement that they can take as well.
So let's say you have somebody that's not in compliance and we've tried five times to try to get them in compliance, and then you report it to Department of Ecology, or I'm assuming you have been reporting to Department of Ecology the whole time, and then Department of Ecology comes up. Does that then leave the city? We're not responsible. It totally is turned over to Department of Ecology.
Yeah, so that's where we'll want to maintain good records, just to say, hey, we tried, we've met the conditions of this permit, we've done the best we can, Department of Ecology, we need your help, and we basically turn it over to them, and then we'll assist them as they need. So, if, you know, if there's help that we can give it. So,
are these activities currently Department of Ecology responsibility that they're turning over to the city now?
Yeah, so for sites that have their own stormwater permit from Department of Ecology, so Palmer Cook and Cole, the Auto Wrecking Yard, 10 Trails, they have their own permit from Ecology. Ecology is supposed to be enforcing that permit. So basically what this is doing is it's putting the first steps of enforcement on the city. So basically we're going to be enforcing their permit.
And they're
going to
give us a lot of money to do that, right?
Probably not.
But then that brings, so if it's a condition,
mandate.
Right, but if it's a condition where there's a fine assessed, does the City of Black Diamond assess that fine, or is it Ecology? If Ecology does it, does the City of Black Diamond get any of the money?
If Ecology implements the fine, I don't believe we get the money. But in our enforcement actions, if we want to put it in an ordinance that we can fine as well, then that's a way to recoup the costs. Mm-hmm. I don't envision too many of these getting to that point, but better safe than sorry. So our current activities, this is a new section in the permit, so we don't have much there. We inspect private properties with stormwater facilities that are connected to us. There's only a few that are connected. So our planned activities are, you know, what does this really mean? You know, what type of effort is this going to be? You know, what sites actually qualify for this? And then from there, it's just moving it forward. So fortunately, we have a few years to get this implemented, but it's going to take time. So this isn't something we can wait till the last minute to start either. So that's all I have. If there's any questions or other comments?
I have another question. So this is going to come in front of the council next week in the meeting, correct? Okay. So once this is approved, then and that it's done by resolution, do you have to send it to Ecology or to somebody else for approval also, or is this kind of a done deal once we pass the resolution?
It's a done deal once it's passed. We do have to include it with our annual report that we do every year. So by March 31st, we'll just have to attach it to the report.
Okay.
And then by May, we'll have to have it up on the city website. But once it's done, we'll get it up on our stormwater page.
Good. Thank you.
There's a typo on page 27 that should say criteria, meet the criteria.
I was just getting fancy. Criterial sounds better, doesn't it?
That's a really nice word. I like it.
I thought maybe it was a new word.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So we're leaving it in. Right?
Thank you very much. I move that we adjourn.
I have another issue to bring up.
Oh, sorry.
So I sent out an email today about changing. Rescheduling the January 2nd meeting to Monday, January 6th, because we're going to have a closed session. And so I just wanted to know if you wanted to do that, reschedule it to the 6th.
The 6th this time for me.
I think at this point it works, yes. Monday, the 6th.
It works for
at
me.
Seven. At 7.
Special meeting.
Does that work for you?
I could show up for the meeting. Yeah. I just can't do the executive session.
7 p.m.
Got it? Okay. So we'll do that.
So most of our meetings are at 7 except for work studies. They're the only ones that are at 6. Now can I make a motion to adjourn?
Of course. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Well, you better get on.